This is Eric.
And this is Britt.
And you're listening to the Rock Fly Podcast. Coming up on this issue of the Rock for Life podcast, we'll have news and commentary, Rock for Life scene on the streets,
followed by Joey with What Now from Planned Parenthood.
All that and more on the Rock for Life podcast. Don't turn your back when the battle is at stake. Thanks for listening to the Rock for Life podcast. This is episode 8. Make sure to go to our website at rockforlife.org. Call our voicemail at 866-552-3368. Email us with your questions, comments, ideas, suggestions to info@rockforlife.org. And make sure to hit us up on MySpace at myspace.com/rockforlife and myspace.com/rockforlifepodcast. All right, so Brittany, did you hear the latest from Nancy Pelosi?
I can't believe that, Eric. Can you?
I can't. Let's roll the tape.
Yeah.
Check this out.
I can't help but think that those who are against this legislation today would want their family members, their child with diabetes, their husband with Parkinson's, their father with Alzheimer's, their mother with breast cancer, to have the benefit of stem cell research. Science is a gift of God to all of us, and science has taken us to a place that is biblical in its power to cure, and that is the embryonic stem cell research.
So basically, Nancy Pelosi is saying that she believes that embryonic stem cell research, which we all know is killing an embryonic child, is a gift from God. Is that correct, Eric?
That sounds like what she's saying. And, you know, the Bible that I read and most Christians read say that thou shalt not murder,
actually,
for one.
I would believe most Christians is actually all Christians read.
Yes, hopefully so, yes. But, we have the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not murder,
mm-hmm.
Proverbs 24:11, where it says to rescue those being led to the slaughter. Mm-hmm. Human embryonic stem cell research is the destruction of a human being.
It is, yeah.
So that would apply in that verse as well.
So how Nancy Pelosi thinks that she can add in embryonic stem cell research as a gift from God.
The reason that she brought this up is because there's been lots of debate and bills being discussed on the floor of the House and the Senate. So we're going to use this as an opportunity to talk about stem cell research. And here's the deal. It's pretty simple. Using stem cells from adult human beings has shown promise. And when you take stem cells from adults, you don't kill them. When you take stem cells from human embryos, you kill them. And those stem cells have so far shown no promise whatsoever. So our choice is pretty simple. We either kill human embryos for failed research, or we don't kill human beings for their stem cells for research that has already shown promise. So it's pretty simple. Nancy Pelosi, who is pro-abortion and a self-professed Catholic, says that killing human embryos for failed research is a gift from God. Now, my God is a good God, and that is a bad gift. So there's a disconnect here somewhere. So
definitely. And I think a point that we need to bring up is that not all stem cell research is bad. If it's adult stem cell research, it's good. So when Nancy Pelosi is talking about embryonic stem cell research being a gift from God, we have to note that it's not all stem cell research she's talking about. It's just embryonic that is wrong.
Correct.
Also, go ahead, Eric.
Well, no, I was going to add that this video of this clip is on YouTube, and there's a link to it from our Rock for Life blog and our Rock for Life podcast website. So definitely hit those up, and if you go to the blog, definitely comment and let us know what you think. But also, feeding off of the whole stem cell research thing, there are a couple other promising things happening. One is that stem cells taken from amniotic fluid is also showing promise.
Yeah, it's shown to be much more versatile and even more stable than embryonic stem cell research.
And also, there's some studies coming out that show that cells from adult mice can be reprogrammed into embryonic stem cell-like state.
Yeah, what they're doing is they're taking the skin cells from these mice and basically shaving off a couple of cells, not hurting the mice in any way, and taking the cells backwards to the state they had been when the mice was in the embryonic state. So it's not taking the mouse backwards, it's taking the cells from the mouse and kind of rewinding time to make them stem cells. And it's looks really promising, what they've got so far.
So far we have promise in all avenues other than killing human embryonic persons.
Whenever they do embryonic stem cell research, it always ends up with something horrible going on.
So let's fund that. Pretty simple.
The mice stem cells?
Sure.
Yeah.
Amniotic, adult. Well, let us know what you think. You can email us at info@rockforlife.org, go to our blog, comment, call our voicemail at 866-552-3368.
If you have any questions about that, do call our voicemail. Leave us a message and we'll answer it on the next podcast.
Absolutely. So, Brittany, you're a teacher. How about we take your kids on a field trip to an abortion mill?
How about we not?
I agree. Well, it's funny that you say not because most parents, I would think, not. But believe it or not, the YMCA, through a special troubled youth program called STAY, took middle school students to an abortion mill for a field trip. And this was on June 6th. It has raised some controversy.
I believe it.
Yeah. And the parents didn't know about this, so there's some outrage going on. The principal's looking into this.
Where was this taking place?
Manchester, New Hampshire.
Manchester, New Hampshire. And it was a YMCA group, you said?
Yes. A program that they oversee called STAY, which is, again, for middle school troubled youth. And it's interesting that they would take troubled youth
to
an abortion mill.
Why would you want to take people who are already troubled to get them more troubled?
Oh, my goodness. So, and what's interesting is that an American Life League associate group, New Hampshire Right to Life, was outside that day doing their picketing and demonstrating and sidewalk counseling. And they approached the students to try to get them to take some of their pro-life materials, which the adults in charge refused to allow any of their students to take their literature. But when the students came out of Planned Parenthood, oh, believe me, they had lots of Planned Parenthood literature.
Oh, I believe it.
Double standard?
Oh, yeah.
Unbelievable. Again, go to our blog, rockforlife.org/blog.php, and comment. Let us know what you think.
So coming up after the break, we'll have Rock for Life seen on the streets, and we'll also be talking with Joey to find out what's up with Planned Parenthood.
And now for Streetlights by Willett.
Outside are dry like springs without water. My heart is threatened like a mist driven by the storm. If it is better to light a candle in the dark, why did we turn out the lights, street lights? Mm-hmm. pierce the darkness, then smother the flame. You won't fight, but you feel like you've already won the game. So why scream if you'll never be heard? Did we turn?
If you are a high school or college-age person who wants to do more than sit around and hope abortion ends in your lifetime, listen up. Join the survivors of the abortion holocaust at our 10th annual pro-life training camp, 12 days of intense training and activism that will prepare you to do something about abortion. Known nationally as a pro-life boot camp, Survivors Camp has trained hundreds of youth to be warriors for the preborn in their hometowns and across the nation. If you are a high school or college student, it's time to take a stand. Join us at this summer's pro-life training camp. We will show you how to be a skilled ambassador for the preborn in the public square, and then we'll take you to the public square with a full week of cutting-edge activism throughout Southern California. It's not too late to sign up. Visit the pro-life training page at www.survivors.la or email us at camp@survivors.la. Survivors Pro-Life Training Camp is happening in Los Angeles, California from June 27th through July 8th. Be there and learn how you can get off the couch and into the battle.
Hey guys, this is Jeremy with the band Will It. We want to let you know about the Rock for Life tour coming this July all over the U.S. The Rock for Life tour is featuring Will It and the band Ilya from the Midwest, and we'll be on tour all month of July. Tons of shows, awesome events, and we want to invite you to come out. So go to willitonline.com, click on tour dates, check out all the tour dates in July. Come out, see us and the Ilya, and let's have a good time. We'll see you in July. See ya.
Thanks for listening to the Rock for Life podcast. You can reach us at info@rockforlife.org. You can also send us a voicemail to let us know what you think at 866-552-3368. Or you can check us out online at rockforlife.org.
So, Brittany, what did you think of hitting the streets with me at the Sojourners event?
Well, that was pretty sweet, Eric, wasn't it?
It was. It was very interesting. And basically what happened was Sojourners had a conference called Pentecost 2007, Taking Vision to the Street. They had a march, and the march was from the National City Christian Church to the Upper Senate Park, and the march was all about placing poverty at the top of our nation's agenda. And as Christians, we should all be concerned with helping out the poor.
Definitely. That's one of our top priorities, is helping out the impoverished.
Absolutely. And it's very clear that through the Bible, Jesus speaks many times about the poor and about his followers to help them out. So that is very clear. So we definitely commend all Christians that work for the poor. But the thing with Sojourners, and I'm trying to be as charitable and as nice as possible, Brittany.
You're lying.
Please do. Is that, you know, reading their materials over the years and whatnot, they seem kind of wishy-washy on abortion.
Well, wishy-washy in that they don't mention anything. They just try and keep off topic completely.
They do and they don't. And I say they don't because, you know, when they talk about abortion, it's kind of not charitable towards pro-lifers in their published materials.
That's true.
No,
when they talk about pro-lifers.
Yes.
Yeah.
They have a heart for reducing abortion. They're very clear about that. But how they wish to do that, they don't believe in making aborting children illegal, but they are into reducing it, and that is by funding social programs and, you know, funding comprehensive sex education and even funding and promoting contraception, which some of it does cause abortion.
Yeah. Well, there's nothing wrong with wanting to fund social programs that help out the mother and child. The problem is that they want to fund programs that promote contraception because, as we talked about last week, contraception, especially hormonal contraception, can be abortion in and of itself and also can lead to more abortions.
Yes, and we have a great question that we'll come to that later, and that's thank you for reminding me. Basically what we did was we feel that the number one agenda for the nation should be abortion. Should
quit killing our own citizens.
Exactly. Should be protecting our own children. And right now, we are aborting over 3,500 babies a day in America and funding it through, you know, Planned Parenthood is receiving millions upon millions of dollars a year. And I'm sure Joy will talk to us more about that later. So we made this banner, and it says, abortion is the greatest poverty. And then it quotes Mother Teresa, her famous quote, which is, it is a poverty to decide that a child must die so that you may live as you wish.
It was really interesting carrying that banner, Eric, because a lot of people were pretty upset that we were there, for one, because they thought that we were stepping on their parade, quite literally. But, go ahead.
In the march, by the way, we did get kicked out.
We got kicked out. Well, kind of kicked out.
So we were asked to leave the march, which what we ended up doing was...
Marching next to the march.
Marching next to the march on the sidewalk. And we were asked very politely and very charitably, which is cool.
Which was awesome. And we had some really awesome conversations. One very specifically was about the word poverty. The word poverty does not just mean financially poor, does it, Eric?
Correct.
When we talk about poor, when we talk about poverty in the Bible or biblically... There are many other uses of it, specifically in the Beatitudes when Christ talks about the poor in spirit. Right. Poverty just means a lacking of something that you need. The most important kind of poverty that we need to fight is a poverty of God, because those who do not have God have nothing.
Spiritual bankruptcy.
Exactly.
Well, I did talk to a few guys about just what we're doing. And we did bring that up, and he saw no relationship to that word whatsoever. And then, but it was very interesting because I went into this reading their materials, just, you know, assuming sort of maybe what they thought. But I thought, well, maybe we'll go there. Maybe they'll be totally on our side and whatnot. But everyone that I spoke to, one guy in particular was really, I mean, he did not see that abortion was killing a child. I mean, he basically said that, well, you know, the human embryo and the human fetus, they're not really aware of their surroundings, so it's not as bad.
I had the opposite experience in that I had especially several young ladies come up to me and say, thank you for being here. That's so wonderful that you're here. On top of the several other people, specifically several older ladies who came up to me and said, I can't believe you're here, and practically spat on me.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that the biggest thing that we can learn from this experience, being pro-lifers, is that we need to remind our Christian brethren specifically, and also our entire community, of the horrors of abortion. In this group of people who had a wonderful agenda to end poverty, they had two completely separate groups of people who... One group thought abortion was horrible, and one group thought abortion was great. Mm-hmm. And by bringing this banner into their midst, they were able to see their difference there and see that they needed to work on that difference in order to be able to truly and effectively end poverty.
It really caused a lot of discussion within the group. And I think, you know, people see us as sometimes what we do as antagonistic and, you know, we're just a bunch of troublemakers and full of hate and whatnot. But the fact of the matter is we put a truthful statement on a banner, abortion is the greatest poverty, and quoted Mother Teresa. And just that in of itself, I mean, it's very educational. And someone did blog about, Sojourners.
From our conversation.
That's right. And he was under the impression that all pro-lifers, or majority of them, were
you know, right-wing extremists.
Exactly. And he had a preconceived idea, and we're just normal people.
Mm-hmm. And he wrote a wonderful blog. It was a great conversation I had with him, how, you know, as pro-lifers, we need to be pro-all life. We should be against anything that is hurting human beings specifically, or any life in general, since we are stewards of life.
That's right. So I think that the bottom line is that abortion is poverty, and the number one priority of our day should be ending it.
If we can't protect our own, we can't protect anything.
Abortion ends the lives of more than 3,500 American babies a day, and this bloodshed dwarfs any other issue, including poverty. So, that was our fun and excitement.
Moving right along, Joey's here to tell us what's going on with Planned Parenthood.
Recently, a political strategist called Planned Parenthood, quote, one of the most radical pro-abortion groups in the country. In response, Cecile Richards, the president of Planned Parenthood Federation of America, denied the charge and actually called it an attack on PP's reproductive health care services. Now, in Pennsylvania last week, Cardinal Regali, the Bishop of Philadelphia, issued a statement that said, Philadelphia is experiencing homicide at a record rate. Now is not the time to affirm the false choice of procured abortion. In response to that, the CEO of Planned Parenthood of Southeastern Pennsylvania replied, quote, it is shameful to equate reproductive rights with homicide. Well, both of these statements came out after Planned Parenthood released its newest service numbers from the annual report that it puts out every year. In that report, it admitted to committing last year 264,943 abortions. Now, that breaks down to about 5,095 abortions every single week. That means Planned Parenthood kills more Americans every single week than were killed in the terrorist attacks on 9/11. That means Planned Parenthood kills more Americans in 1 week than have died in the entire Iraq war. Now, with this information coming out from Planned Parenthood that it is killing 5,095 Americans every single week, that effectively now makes Planned Parenthood the fourth leading cause of death in America. The only things that are above it are the deaths caused by all kinds of cancer, the deaths caused by all kinds of heart disease, and only behind the number one killer of non-Planned Parenthood abortions. So that's right, Planned Parenthood is the fourth leading cause of death in this country. And with its newest numbers that came out, Planned Parenthood has now hit over 4 million abortions that it has committed since 1970 when it started killing babies in New York City. So the reality is Planned Parenthood is one of the nation's most radical pro-abortion groups. Planned Parenthood does commit homicide. It kills children every single day. It kills 5,095 children every single week. Now, Planned Parenthood hates being called an abortion organization. The reality is Planned Parenthood is the leading abortion giant in this country. It does approximately 20% of all the abortions that happen in America. So every time you ever talk with anybody about Planned Parenthood, remind them, no matter what else Planned Parenthood claims, no matter what else Planned Parenthood says that it doesn't change the fact that Planned Parenthood kills 5,095 people every single week. It does not change the fact that Planned Parenthood is the fourth leading cause of death in America.
All right, thanks, Joy, for that fantastic segment on What Now with Planned Parenthood.
Not a problem, anytime. And remember, stay away from Planned Parenthood. It's not good for you.
Once again, you're listening to the Rock for Life podcast.
All right, so check this out, Brittany. If you or anyone listening here knows how to use digital camcorder or know how to do animation, can put a photo slideshow together, want to use your gifts to make a pro-life music video, want to win some cool prizes, then this pro-life music video contest is for you.
Sweet.
Last Day recently released a pro-life song called It's Time, and you can get a free download of that at the Rock for Life website. And so we've partnered up to do a YouTube video contest. So basically what you do is use your skills, listen to the song, put together a music video, and upload it on YouTube. And the link to that is on the Rock for Life website, the Rock for Life podcast page. And we'll have a contest. We have cool prizes. And we'll announce winners. It ends at the end of July. And make sure to check it out. Sweet. You gonna check it out?
Of course I'm going to check it out. I don't know if I'm going to do it. I'm not that talented, Eric.
All right. Don't be grabbing my papers from me. Okay, here's the deal. The last podcast, we spoke about a new form of birth control. Mm-hmm. And we talked about how it works and how it is abortifacient. Well, this is Christy from Newport, Kentucky. She's 26. Her question is that how all birth control works?
Well, Christy, that's exactly just it. All hormonal contraception works in three different ways. The first way it works is to stop ovulation. The second way it works is to thicken the cervical mucus, which makes it more difficult for the sperm to get to the egg. But the third and final way that all hormonal contraception works is it thins the lining of the uterine wall, making it a hostile environment so that an already conceived child can no longer implant into its mother, making it so that it starves to death and is flushed out with the next menstrual cycle.
I would personally say all forms of chemical contraception.
Well,
which would mean like pills, patches, shots.
Hormonal contraception causes a chemical abortion, which
right.
is the term that we use to talk about hormonal contraception's effect, abortifacient effect, is a chemical abortion. The other contraceptives that she might be talking about are things like the copper IUD mm-hmm. and the cervical cap and the condoms and stuff like that. Those do not work specifically, the cervical cap and the condom.
Well, those are barrier methods.
Yes, barrier methods don't work.
So you could say all forms of birth control that are not...
All forms of contraception that are not barrier methods are abortifacients.
Perfect. I couldn't have said it any better. All right, so that wraps up the Rock for Life podcast, episode 8. Again, make sure to visit the website, rockforlife.org. Catch us on MySpace at myspace.com/rockforlife and myspace.com/rockforlife podcast. You can write us at info@rockforlife.org. Call or voicemail at 866-552-3368. Leave us a message, ideas, comments, suggestions, questions.
Let us know how we're doing.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. And also, don't forget to support us with your prayers and your financial donations. With the Rock for Life tour coming up, all your donations would be greatly appreciated, and especially your prayers. So God bless. Take care. We love you.
Have a great week. Rock for Life is a project of American Life League. No exceptions, no compromise.